Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Vav. We're holding Kuf Hey Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom of the Yamud where the Gemara begins, Umar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. You'll recall that the last piece of Gemara that we learned yesterday was we quoted several psukim in Parshas Balak, and what Bilam did to try to curse Klal Yisrael, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was mahapachit, each one of these curses was lebracha. And now the Gemara goes and adds a further footnote, if you will. Om Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Om Reb Yoinesen, Mayde Chziv says in the Pasuk, Ne'amonim Pitzei Oyhev, Ne'atorois Neshikois Soinei. What this Pasuk is saying, Ne'amonim, trustworthy are, Pitzei Oyhev. When my friend, when my beloved goes and gives me a petza, goes and gives me a wound, Ne'atorois Neshikois Soinei, rather than getting the kisses of my enemy, which I try to go and dispel and throw away. So even though on the one hand I have somebody giving me makos, giving me pitzoyim, if it's my oyev, I'm happy about that. Masha Enkin, somebody else who's kissing me, if he's my enemy, it's disgusting, get out of here. So what is this referring to? It says, we had already a Chia Shaloni a couple of times in the Gemara that he was a Navi, and sometimes he gave very, very strong muster to Klal Yisrael, and it was, if you will, bitter, but it was like Ne'emon Pitzi Oyev, I'd rather get his Pitzoyim, his strong reprimand, than getting the Neshikoi Soinei, than the Bracha of Bilam Harasha. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. Tei v'kol d'shikil ha'chia Shaloni as Yisrael, yoyis me'bracha shabirchem, Bilam Harasha. And the Gemara gives an example. Achia Shiloni Kilel as Yisrael Bekone. When Achia Shiloni was addressing Klal Yisrael, he was going and saying it in the form of Kone. Kone, of course, is a reed. Shenemar v'hika Hashem as Yisrael kashiyoned ha-kone b'moyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to smite, going to hit Klal Yisrael, just like you have a Kone, which is a reed, which is swaying back and forth in the water. Now you think to yourself and you say, what, the whole Klal Yisrael is just like a Kona, just like a reed? It sounds like a terrible curse that the whole Klal Yisrael is just a reed. So it's more, no, fakert. This happens to be a bracha, because ma Kona zeh oimid mokim mayim. First of all, reeds, by definition, they grow in the marshes, where there's a lot of water, so therefore they have a future as well as a present. They have the water supply. The gizay machlif says Rashi, tatap la'achash niktat, after a Kona is cut, new konim will go and sprout out in their place. Mishroshim and Reuven, and it has quite a few shroshim roots. V'afilikol ruche sheba'ilim bois v'noishris boi. Even if it happens to be an extremely windy day, where the winds are blowing from all sides, ein mizizoishim koimai, they're not going to uproot this reed, quite to the contrary. Elohu hoilichu boimoyim. It sways back and forth with the wind. As the wind keeps on pushing it and pulling it from all sides, no problem. It goes along for the ride. Even when the ruchais finally die down, the kone succeeds. Baruch Hashem, it's still there. You don't have to go and replace it. You don't have to worry about it falling and hitting and causing damage. No, Baruch Hashem, it stays in place. So what we might have conceived as kone being a terrible curse, quite to the contrary, it's a tremendous blessing. On the other hand, Bilam Harasha, Berchon Be'eretz, Bilam Harasha said about a Klal Yisrael, Karozim Alei Moyim, and Eretz, of course, is a cedar tree. Wow, that sounds like a big, big tribute, a big bracha. Klal Yisrael would be like a long, tall Eretz. However, says Imam, my Eretz there, Eine Oim Mokim Mayim. Typically, when you have a cedar tree, there are no marshes, there is no easy supply of water next to it. Rashi points out, even though the Pasuk says, Ka'arozim aleimoyim, aleimoyim are words that the Kadosh Baruch Hu inserted. He, Bilam, said, oh, Ka'arozim, and he probably wanted to say something bad, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu cut him short and said, aleimoyim, not like your Arozim that you're thinking to yourself, they have no future, no present, because there's no water supply. No, aleimoyim, there will be water. V'shiroshim mu'atin, and if you ever uproot an Eretz tree, you'll find that there are very few roots. Once you uproot one of them, but you cut it down, another one does not automatically grow in place. And after the Kalrucha Sheba'ilim Bois V'Noishas Boi, Ein Mezid Zoysim Koimai, even though most of the Ruchas, most of the winds coming from all different directions won't affect the tree at all, However, Kishin Hashubai, Ruach Raimis, when the Ruach Raimis, which is considered to be the most difficult, I'm sorry?
From the south.
From the south, correct. The south wind. Our Gemara doesn't go into it. The Gemara in Bav Basra, we have in Daf Chof Hei, as a whole discussion about the strengths and the weaknesses and the benefits and the disadvantages of the various ruchos. Some of them are typically, there's more water, less water, there's more famine, more drought. Anyway, but the Ruach Raimis is considered to be a very kosher, it's a very, very strong wind. So if the Ruach Raimis hits that eris tree, Biad Okroiso, it has the ability to go and be oiker, to go and uproot it. Vaifchase upon it until it falls on its face. So therefore we see how many advantages and benefits you have to be compared to a kana vis-a-vis an eris. So when I would have thought, Achi HaShiloini, wow, he's really, Chas HaShon, cursing us by telling us we're like a kana, and Bila Marashe is really blessing us, we're like an eris tree. It's just in reverse. What appears to be a klala of Maisoine, that in fact is Ne'amonim, that's really a wonderful bracha. What I thought was the beautiful kiss of the Bila Marasha turns out to be the biggest cloak. V'loi oid. Not only that, it's not just a question of comparing one to the other, but v'loi oid ele shezocha konalitali minakomus. From a kona you can go and cut the edges on the bottom and make and fashion a pen out of it. Lichle mimenu sefer Torah. That's something very, very special, which you do not have with an eris tree, for that matter, with any type of...
But does it have to be the... an animal feather to write the Sefer Torah?
Apparently not. We're saying that even a reed can be used. You cannot use a behemoth tamea for either for the sinews, either for the cloth or even for the sinews that you're using as the thread to hold it together. However, for it has to be something which is kosher. The Gemara says, because it says in the Pasuk, "Menamutze b'ficha." So a reed is kosher. I mean, it's not edible, but at least it's not non-kosher. So apparently it's no problem.
But a trefa you could use for the work? It doesn't have to be shepherded. I don't know if you want to use...
I mean, if a kosher animal is a trefa, I think you're right, but I don't know for certain. So Mitchum, if you're commissioning a Sefer Torah, check it out with the Sofer or your local Poisik, mm-hmm. or check it out in Shulchan Aruch. There has to be a kosher animal for sure. Right, yeah, right. Okay, so now we're continuing on in Bilam's various brachos and klalos. Vayaris akeni v'isa mishole v'yoyma. So now it says in the pasuk that he, Bilam, spied, he saw the keni. Who are the kenis? That's a reference to Yisrael and his progeny and his children. And he started saying something about them. So what did he say? So the Gemara says, only Bilam the Yisrael. When Bilam eyed keni, meaning Yisrael, he said, keni, lo yisi mana boisa eitza? Don't you remember that we were together a number of years ago when there was the Eitzah? What's for an Eitzah? What was the Eitzah by Paro?
What to do about the boys?
What the boys, some say.
Very good. So if you look at the Rashi, 8 lines from the top, don't you remember? We're together. There were three of us. We'll see the Gemara in a moment that the third one was Eoyv. So three of us were together. How did you go and leave that and now become part of the Esani Olam? What does it mean, part of the Esani Olam? So if you look at number one in the Torah, R, all the way at the top, Vayaris Akeni Vayisa Mishola Vayoymar, Esan Moshe Vecha, Vesim Basela Kinecha. So what means Esan Moshe Vecha? The Esanim that the Gemara is referring to are the Esanim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the formed of the Sanhedrin. And Esan means a person who is very strong, very mighty. Exactly. So we're talking about very mighty people. And the mighty people, we don't mean military, we mean people who are tremendous, who sat in Lishkas Agazis, who were the Sanhedrin. And so, says now Bilam the Yisrael, Kaini, lo yisi mana boisa eitza, don't you remember when we were much younger, we were on that special committee that was advising Paroi? How do I see that all of a sudden you and your children, the grandchildren, they're all sitting among the Sanhedrin? Three of them were in the same Eitzah. In other words, they were consulted on this issue about Kol HaBein HaYoyim. Elohenu were the three, Bilam, which we just spoke about, and Yoyim, and Yisrael. Oh, so Bilam is addressing Yisrael. And Bilam Shiyo'at, Bilam that suggested, yes, we should go and Chas V'Sholem Nerak, eventually, Mida Kenegan Mida, he was killed. Eoiv Shishosak, Eoiv that was quiet, Nidan B'Yisurim. He unfortunately had Yisurim, those are the Yisurei Eoiv that you read about when you read Job, when you read Eoiv. You learn it. V'Yisurei Sheborach, and Yisurei was Gemachta Pleita, he said, I'm not getting involved, I'm out of here, and he ran away. So Chmeribanov, Leisha V'Lishkas Gozes, he was Eichad that his Eneklech Sap V'Lishkas Gozes, in other words, members of the Sanhedrin. If you remember, we brought this Pasuk 2 days ago in the Gemara. Why did we bring in a connection with the godless of Legima? Legima means to go and serve all types of Orchim and travelers. And that's why Yisrael, when he heard about Moshe Benu, said, Kirin lo v'yoychalocha, bring him in. And eventually he married Tzipora, etc., etc. That was the Gemara we had a couple of days ago. So the Gemara brought the same Pasuk. Shenema u'mishpachoy soifrim yoyshve yabet. The Mishkoi Seifer means those that were the Seifer people on the Sanhedrin. Tirosim, Shemosim, Sukosim, Heim Akinim, Akinim, they were from the Mishpacha Sakeni, meaning descendants of Yisrael. Haboyim Mach Vesavi, Beis Rechav. Uksiv, Ubenei Keni, Choysa Moshe. So the Kinim that we just referred to is Keni, Choysa Moshe. Olamir Atzvar. Ah, so what is the Gemara saying? What the Gemara is saying is, in the Schar that he ran away, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu went and gave him this tremendous bracha. What's the tremendous bracha? That his Eniklach afterwards returned, so to speak, and they sat in the Sanhedrin, became among the greatest of Klal Yisrael. The question now is, why did Eoiv Sheshosak Nidan B'Yisurim? What's the Mida connected? I understand by Bilam Sheyoatz Nerak, he gave the eight to go and kill the kids. But what did Eoiv? Eoiv Sheshosak, so why did he get Yisurim? So it's brought b'shem the Briskarov. The Briskarov said, when a person happens to be in tremendous pain, what does he do? He screams. Now let me ask you, does that screaming help him? Perhaps emotionally, but certainly doesn't help him physically. He's b'yisurim. So Eoiv said, there's nothing I can do. I saw I was going to, that he, Bilam, was going to have the upper hand, and I saw that Paro was in favor of it. So there was nothing I could do about it. So unfortunately, that the decision was made, and I was shasek, because I saw there's nothing that I could do, it would not work. So now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Eoiv, when a person is in pain, he screams out, even if he knows it's not going to help. If this would have bothered you, Eoiv, then you should have started screaming and say, how could you do that? Innocent little babies, you're going to go and throw them into the water. But apparently it didn't bother you enough that you should go and scream. So therefore, neither be Yisurim, he got those Yisurim, and now he's going to have to go and start screaming, oy vevey, how painful, how difficult it is. So Eoiv, that when he should have screamed because of Yisurim, and he didn't go and scream, so then Kodesh Baruch Hu afflicted him with Yisurim, and now all of a sudden he starts screaming, what are you screaming about? It's not going to help you anyway. Just like then he should have screamed, even though he thought it wouldn't help. Okay, continuing on. V'yisum mishol v'yayimar. Oy, mi yichya misumekel. That's what you state in Pasuk. What's this lotion of mi yichya misumekel? Amr Hashem ben Lakish. Oy, mi shemachaya atzim shemkel. I don't know why it's parentheses, because Rashi quotes this Gemara, and he doesn't say Hachi Garcinan, so it sounds like this should be part of the Gemara. So I'm not sure why those parentheses are there. Anyway, Amr Hashem ben Lakish. Oy, woe is to mi shemachaya atzmoy b'shem kel. Now, what does it mean, mechai atzim b'shem kel? Says Rashi, this is referring to people that make themselves into gods and want people to go and bow down to them. Ooh. Rashi gives two examples of Paroi and of Chiram. Chari can go and give examples of like Haman, Luchanetzer, and others that try to make themselves into gods. But that's what Rashi brings a quarter down the Amid. Shemachai atzim b'shem kel, oiza atzmoi elika, eliha, a god, k'moi Paroi v'chiram, and others that did that. So, oy, mi yechia, person who's machai himself, who tries to invigorate himself and project himself, misumekel, as if he is appointed as a god. He's just a boss of a dumb, he's not a god. That's one pshat. And then Rashi has another pshat right after that. Lashon achar, mi shemachai atzmai. Machai means to go machai himself to. Machai. Kloima. Oy, lehem lo, oy, somebody old them. Shemachayin umeadmin atzim oilam hazeh uporkin ol toirem yal tzavorim hum neshamnin es atzman. Those people that are constantly indulging in all of the madanim, the delicacies and the luxuries of oilam hazeh, and porkin ol toirem, That we'll learn another time. And now let's have a feast and a party and let's have a good time. And they're constantly ma'ad and atzvah. Until they become obese, and then they have to start taking Olympic pills and things like that to be able to go and reduce their weight. So that's nishka gutzach, and we continue on by it. Om Rav Yochanan. Oy lo li uva shetimotzi b'shosha kadosh baruch hu isa pidyon lebanav. The time will come, mi'at Hashem, it's going to be b'korov, Mashiach will come, followed by Olam Haba, etc. And then it's going to push Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach is going to be poyed, he's going to redeem back his children and take them back. At that time, oy li uva shetimotzi, that is going to try to somehow interfere with that. Oy, that uva is going to be totally tishmetered. Rashi says, when it comes, and we're Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us back. If there's going to be any ummah, if you look at the Rashi in the right hand side in the middle, it wants to push away and somehow make a divide between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Woe is to that ummah. And the Gemara gives an example, a moshel. Mi matul ksusoi bein lovi lelevia b'shoshin iskokim ze im ze. Can you imagine if you were to go and eye a Lavi, Lavi being a male lion, and a Livia, which is a lioness, they have decided that they want to go and get married, and someone says, no, I don't like the Shidduch, and he's going to go and try to put a ksus between the male and the female to stop them from doing Bia, what do you think is going to happen with that person? You think that they're going to go and say, oh, that's so nice of you, that's so considerate, so thoughtful. Good luck, as you say. Both of them are going to attack simultaneously, so Oyla Le'uma that's going to try to stop that reunion between Klal Yisrael and Kaviyoch Le'Voishler. And we continue back in Parshas Balak, V'tzim Miyad Kitim, V'inu Asher, V'inu Ever. The first thing Mordechai tells us, Tzim, by the way, means mighty ships, and in fact, in Eretz Israel years ago, maybe they still have
major
today.
Major shipping companies.
The Zim shipping company, which was Zim, of course, in English, but in Hebrew it was Tzim. So, Miyad Kitim. Where is Kitim? Says Rashi. Not Rashi. Says Yimora Amarav, Liban Aspir. Liban Aspir is the name of a place. Either the whole Kitim is called Liban Aspir, or a city in Kitim is called Liban Aspir. You see, Rashi says, Tzim Miyad Kitim, Amarav, Liba Aspir, the Kitim, Hainu Mokim Sheshmoikach. That there is a Liba Asper de Kitim, part of Kitim, and that was the name of the place in this larger area, presumably called Kitim, and there was a place called Liban Asper. Oh, the other Pshatim, and the Pasuk continues. So, on the Inu Asher, the Inu Ever. What does that mean? So, the Tzim, these ships that are going to go from Kitim, from Liban Asper, they're going to have on them sailors and soldiers who are going to attack both Ever and Asher. Inu Asher, the Inu Ever. Now the Pasuk could have said Ve'inu Asher Ve'Aver together. Why does the Torah have to repeat Ve'inu Ve'inu? Comes to tell you that the Inui, the Tzoris, that they're going to cause to Asher will be different than the Tzoris that they're causing to Aver. That Ad Asher Katli Mikto. When they reach Asher, they're going to go and try to kill them all out. These are the Kitim people, the Liban Asper people. They're going to try to kill the whole Asher. Mikan Ve'elech, when they finish with Asher, then Mishabdi Shibudi, then they're going to continue on to Aver, and then they're going to try to go and put them, Mishib, not try to go and kill them,
enslave.
But rather take them, enslave them, so they should become slaves. So we learn that because of the two different types of Inu. Just could have said what? Right, the Bilam continues. Hini oivach li ami, l'cho I otzcha, ashiyasa omezeh li amcha, bi'achra sayom. Now what this is talking about is the Eitzah, which we already discussed in the Gemara yesterday, which means that Bilam said to Balak, the only way that you can defeat this nation is by Chas V'Sholem, being machshel them ba'arois, because their God is a soinei zima. He's very, very angry if Chas V'Sholem, Yidden, or anybody does not act appropriately when it comes to matters of arois. So, he now, Bilam says, I failed all of my times to try to go and curse them, but I have an Eitzah for you. And you'll be able to go and vanquish and conquer this nation if you cause them, Chas V'Sholem, to sin in Yonei Arois. And the Gemara is going to give us a very graphic example shortly. So now the Lashon of the Pasuk is, I'm going to give you an Eitzah. Ashiyaso Om Hazeh, what this nation is going to do, Li Amcho, Bi Achar Seyam. Now what means this nation, Li Amcho? Poshim Pshat, it means the Yidden to the Goyim. Now the question is the Yidden to Amcha, to your nation of the Moiv and the Midianites, all those guys. So now the question is, shouldn't it see the other way around? After all, if Bilam is giving them an Eitzah, he should go and say, I'm going to give you an Eitzah that you, the Moabites, Midianites, what you should do, the Amazah, to Klal Yisrael. That's what the Choyra should have been the order of the Pasuk. So not what this nation is going to do to your Amcha, because the Eitzah is that what you're going to do to that Amcha, to that Am. So Ma'aba Umar Baba Bar Kahana, we have this from time to time, that a person wants to go and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. However, the truth could be very, very hurtful. So therefore he tries to go and put it off and talk about third parties. Not the Chas V'Shalom person is going to have surgery, he doesn't say about himself. In a sense. So he says, what happens if a person were to have the surgery? No, Chas V'Shalom, nothing to do with me. A third party who comes from Australia, what happens to Chas V'Shalom if he needs, not opposed to Australia, comes from the North Pole, and he says he needs this type of surgery. How dangerous is it? Would you have to worry about it? So a person has Nebuch HaKlola, but he doesn't want to ascribe it to himself. Therefore, he ascribes it to the others. And so therefore, what he's saying over here is that you, Bolak, and your nation should have to come on to Eitzes from me would indicate that you are on a lower level and you need Eitzes to be able to vanquish the Jewish people. So therefore, I don't want to say that because I'm going to be toilek losai with you. So rather, I'm going to say what Klal Yisrael has to do against you to go and win is if you have the upper hand, Bolak, and your nation, and if Klal Yisrael wants to defeat them, I'm going to have to give them an Eitzah. That's not the case. The case of the Pasuk is, I'm giving you an Eitzah, Bolak, and Moya, because of the fact that you have the lower hand. But I don't want to say that you have the lower hand, because it's objectionable. It looks like you guys are the weak guys, and I don't want to say that. I don't want to be Toila the Kilala. See, look at the last Rashi on the right-hand side, the last three lines. He didn't want to attribute shiflus means being having the lower hand to Balak Shehu. Tzarech levakish eitza hech yishlu by Yisrael. I have to go and give you eitza's advice. And therefore, it'll be Yisrael tala shiflus leima shehein tzrichin the eitza shikoshlu by bnei Moav. Shlo titkav bnei Moav yedei Moav al Yisrael. I said that's why the pasuk says a shiyasa omazeh liamcha. Klal Yisrael needs an eitza against your nation. The boy said that's not the case. You, Balak, you need the eitz against Klal Yisrael. But I don't want to attribute that to you because you'll be embarrassed. Zokti Moravait. So what is that taka eitz? Like we said before, Amalehem, Aleheim shel Eilu Sayne Zimahu. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a Sayne Zima. He doesn't like people at Chas V'Shalom engage in a rois. The Hamas Ablam Klei Pishtan. Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, liked to wear Klei Pishtan. Apparently that was pleasant, and it wasn't too hot. After all, we're talking about the Mediterranean countries, and this was light, and there was apparently a large supply of linen clothing. And therefore, says Bilam, boy be'asiyecha eitza, I'm going to give you an eitza. Asay lehen kloim v'hoishim hen zoinais. What you should do is you should go and make such temporary tents made out of kloim with, like a tent-like material, similar to the kloim that you had a room the chotzer, and make these like you find in various marketplaces where they go and put up, even over here when they have one of these street fairs from time to time, you'll see they put up these like temporary booths with canvas material on top and on the sides, I guess against either if it's too hot or if it's raining or something. So they make these kind of temporary booths and make such zoinus and have zoinus inside. Now you have to be able to entice the Jews to go inside. I have an idea. Zakenim b'chutz. Put an elderly lady, not necessarily really elderly, but a relatively older lady, standing outside these booths, and there should be a young lady inside. Mibifnim. V'yimachu lehen klei pishtan. And they should have a big sign saying, we're now selling linen clothing, and go and aselehen kloi mehashalik ad beis hayishimais. So they in fact did that. They made these booths, these tents, all the way from Har Shalik. Har Shalik is like Har Hermon, which you have in the north. Rashi says Shalik is also called in the Torah Sneer. Sneer and Shalik are synonymous terms. They both mean snow, and Har Hermon has snow on it. So make it all the way in the north from Har Shalik until Beis HaShemesh, which is further south, and make all of these markets full of these types of temporary tents. Boishim and Zoynis put Zoynis in them. Skenim Uchutz, Yalim Afnim. U'Beshoshi Yisrael Oichlin, B'Shoysen U'Smeichen, V'Yoytzen L'Tayl B'Shuk, when Klai Yisrael has, you know, a good day, it's a nice weather, and they just ate a nice meal, like a midday, like in those countries where lunchtime is the major meal of the day as opposed to dinner like we have in America. So when they're happy and in good spirits and they just drank a little bit, smechem, so now they're going for a spazier, a little bit of a walk. So the Cana goes and says to one of the Jews that's walking, today is a big, big sale. Are you interested in maybe buying some clay pishton? So Zakena immersely bishavet, she quotes the market price. Then Yalda, all of a sudden, the woman that's inside peeks her head out and she says, "Emeris loy b'pachas, I can give you 20% discount." Oh, that sounds good. And what does he do? And in fact, he might buy one of these big day pishta. And this is shtayim v'shalosh pam. This could happen two or three different times on different occasions. In other words, a month later, 2 months later, whatever. Oh, once again, we have brand new plague pishta. They just came from the factory. The Cana says, "Bishava, I have a good price for you, market price." And the Yalda says, "I can give you a 20% discount." So after this happens a few times, then she says to the Jew, "Hari at kiben bais. You know, you've been here two, three times. You already bought. You're a good customer. You already bought a few times the clay pishta. I'm so happy. So you know what? Sheh bro la'atzvacha, instead of my picking it out for you, why don't you come inside the tent and you go and see. You see, we have a whole bunch of clay pishta and you'll choose which one you like, the design, which one is bigger, which one is smaller, extra large and small, and the different colors, etc., etc. V'tzitzur shel yayin amoini munich etzla. And this Yaldu is inside, besides having all of this choyre for sale, she will also have with her some bottles of good Ammonite wine, which apparently were very strong, and apparently were very seductive in those days, seductive, or...
arousing.
Arousing, yeah, good. Vadayin lo nesar, and the Gemara throws in kind of as a parenthetical, don't worry, how is it possible for a Jew to go and drink non-kosher wine, or at least non-Jewish wine? Vadayin lo nesar, yayin shel nochrim. At that point, the din of yayin nochrim.
Yayin stam.
What we're going to see over here, it's yayin nesach. All of that didn't exist yet. Well, yayin nesach was already yosem in the Torah. But as you say, stam yayinam is only yosem derabanan. And at that point, there was no such gzeir yet.
There's dinu shel Rebbe, right?
As Amr Loisa, she said now to the Jewish fellow, doesn't it look good? It's a good aroma. He smelled it. Yeah, it's good. Now I'll take a little cuss of yayin. Kivin Shishasa, once he drank a little bit, bar boy, as you said, it aroused in him a tremendous feelings. Amalos, and now he said to her, Hashmi'ili, go and bar boy, Amalos, Hashmi'ili, listen to me. And listen to me, meaning that since he was aroused, he wanted to go and live with this yayin. She said, one second, there's an admission price. The admission price is, I'm taking out my yira, I have a tzelem here, that I'm wearing here under my blouse. She takes it out, well, we'll see in a moment, and she says, I want you to go and worship to this tzelem. Amaloi, so she said to him, avoid the zay. See this? I want you to do avoid. Amaloi, hala yehudiyani. How can I do that? I'm going to go and blah, blah. So she said, Amaloi, I have a good idea for you. This particular avodah zarah, you don't have to go and bend down and bow down all the way, prostrate yourself on the ground and say that you service this God and you believe in it. No, machbis lecha, it's very, very simple. You just ate recently, right? There were oichlin v'shoyis in esmechen. You probably need to go and relieve yourself. Guess what? We have bathrooms over here. We're going to take the tzelem, put it there in the bathroom. You'll go to the bathroom, and you will be relieved from your excrement. You'll defecate, and this valpoor, this idol, will also be relieved that it has people worshipping it. It'll be a marriage made in heaven, and you're going to do the valpoor thing. And he doesn't know. He knows about Baal Pa'ar, and then you defecate in front of the Avodah Zarah. He thinks, if he has an occasion to go to a free bathroom, yeah, I'm a chai, so he goes. But after she goes, after he goes, he's already in her clutches. But now that you've done that you've bowed down to this bar, now bow down, you, in a sense, you crouch a little bit. Anyway, now that you've defecated to the Baal Pa'ar, and therefore you're in the Baal Pa'ar's camp, I want you to make another statement that you're koyfer b'teres Moshe. Then it says the pasuk, "Hey, mabo Baal Pa'ar," they came to Baal Pa'ar. So you know, zula boishes by you shkutzim b'havam. By now, in a sense, loving either the Yalda or loving the Baal Pa'ar, or perhaps both. Now you're going to be laboishes, or they're already by boishes, perhaps they're pulling down their pants, but now they're going to be even a bigger bush of Yishkutzim. You're going to be now Meshukat, you're going to be
rejected
and detested for the fact that you're Kuifer now, but Tertus Moshe Rabbah. Or it could be the Yishkutzim, that act of being Kuifer, that itself is a detestable act. So this was the whole plan that he, Bilam, had, that they should go and cause the Zima, cause the Aroyas, and unfortunately it was very successful, and it says in the Torah that 24,000 Yidden died at that time, all because of this Eitzarah of Bilam.
How was it he, after he defecated, he says he's a kofir of Moshe, but what's the
she was, after he came out, she probably offered him some toilet paper or whatever. We don't go into all those details.
Instead of saying Asher Yotzar, he said he's a kofir in Hashem.
Exactly. When he comes out of the bathroom, there were no bathrooms, but anyway, when he finishes, then she says to him, "By the way, what you've just done now is a form of worship to Baal Pa'ar." I didn't even know that. Well, yes. And now that you happen to be part of the camp of the Baal Pa'ar, you can't have two gods. Of course, you can't have two gods. Okay, so I want you to be koyfer b'kei Yisrael and show your allegiance to the Baal Pa'ar. And because he had this tremendous taiva, and she was probably inappropriately dressed, and he just drank this Ammonite wine, and etc., etc. So one thing led to the other, and unfortunately he lived with her, and it was curtains for him and for her, and the whole 24,000 he'd never died. So with that, we ended this shtickle. This was all part of the Chai Otzcha in the Oilech Li'ami. And now we continue. It says, "Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim," that Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, settled in Shittim. The Poshep Shat is Rebbe Zohim Shittim. That was the name of the place called Shittim. Rebbe Shuaim, no. Shemis Asku b'divrei Shtus. And you know, in Parashas Nosai, when it talks about Soita, it says Ish Kisista Ishtai. What's the lashon Kisista? Rashi says, "Ein Odom Choite Elam Im Nichnas Boy Ruach Shtus." And of course, that choyte that we're talking about over there is choyte ba'aroyis, so we're talking about a soita. Here too, that Nebuch Klal Yisrael this ask of Divrei Shtus, what was the Shtus? That they went and were oisik now with these women, that a Shtus, and as a result, that's why the 24,000 Nebuch were killed. Vatikran la'om lezivchei elihehen. Now the word vatikrana, parshapshat, means they called them. In other words, that the Zoinois and the Benois Moyev, the Midian, called to Klal Yisrael to join them in Zivchei Eliheim and bring Kabbalah. However, the Gemara teaches the word Vatikrana in two interesting ways. First, Vatikrana means Mikra, which means to meet someone, like almost by happenstance. But also the Gemara goes one step further, that we're saying that they met them, Vatikrana La'am, they met them without anything in between. Like we said before, the Lovi and the Levia, that they wanted to make love, the Lovi and Levia, make sure that you're not in the middle and don't put a ksusay over here. So Vatikrena, Rebloza Ima, Aruma Ispogubahan, these Menais Moyev, Vatikrena, they met them
unclothed.
Without, why has Gemara learned that? Because it's not that Vatikrena as if they were fully clothed and therefore there was no physical contact, but no Mikra, that they, in fact, did hit one the other, so to speak, bodily, and that could only be that there was nothing in between, there was no mechitza. That's a rumor it's spoken about. Rabbi Shua Oimer, that the word vekren is similar to the word not mikra, but the word balkeri, shasakulan balikeri. Of course, these are all related, how they became balikeri, because of all of these situations which we just discussed. So now, since we had a machloikis between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Shua, what does shita mean? So now the Gemara says, we have a similar machloikis, my loshen refidim. It says in the pasuk, "V'yisum merfidim v'yavoyu midbar Sinai." What means refidim? Reb Lez Oim refidim. That was the name of the place. You know, don't read anything more into it. That name of the place was Shittim, and the name of this place was refidim. Reb Shua Oimer sheripu atzam midivrei Torah. The reason why it's called refidim is because there was a rifyon yadayim. Rifyon yadayim means that they became weak and slack when it came to learning Torah. Shnema lehifnu ovis albonim made rifyon yadayim. The hands became weakened. When you see the word Vayeshev in the Torah or even in Nach, usually what follows right after that is the Nishkatoy. Things were not good. And the introductions of Vayeshev, they settle down. Baruch Hashem, everything is okay now. We're sitting, we're comfortable. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no comfort.
Vayeshev Yaakov.
Well, the Gemara is going to bring Vayeshev Yaakov momentarily. Vayeshev in Loshen Tzah, Shenema, Vayeshev Yisod Bashita, like we just said, Vayochala Om Lizno Yisol Noyismoyav. They thought everything is fine, we're comfortable, we're sitting, everything's great. No, unfortunately, the Tzar was Lizno Noyismoyav. Now, your example, Ariel, Vayeshev Yaakov Beres Meguri Aviv. What happened? Beres Kanaan. Then Vayeshev Yosef is the Basim Rala Abdiyam, there was the whole mass that eventually Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, etc. Another passage in it says, "Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Goshen." What happens after that? Yaakov may Yisrael, Lomas Yaakov Avinu was now elderly and he was going to pass away. Vayeshev Yehuda v'Yisrael levetach ishtachas gafne v'tachas teinos. Everybody's comfortable in his vineyard or under his fig tree. Vayakom Hashem satan l'shloim yas hadad hu adoimi mizera hamelech hu ve'edaim. So when everybody thought we're comfortable, boom, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought on the battle with Hadad. Yes, okay, so we now finish with the whole series of Ayeshevs, and now we again go back to the story about Bilam. Yes, Malchim Midian Hogo Al Chalaleim. This is not in Parshat Parshas Balak, this is further down in later on in Matas Matzah. Yeah. What does it say there? It's Bilam and Be'or Hogo Bechorev. Pray to more Bilam, my boy Hossam. Didn't Bilam already leave at the end of Parshas Balak? We're done with Balak. We're done with Bilam. Where did he come back on the scene? When he heard that we were laning in the Chumash, that 24,000 Nebuch got killed as a result of his Aitza, he says, okay, now I'm coming to collect my reward because I was the one that gave the Aitza. You know, like a Shachan, or Hashem, we consummated the deal.
Shachan's killed, please.
Exactly. So here also Nebuch Shachan's killed. Omar Zutabar Tumi Omara, Haini Diyami Inchi, people have an expression. Gamla azlali boy karni unni dahavale geziza mine. A gomel, a camel, azla goes, li boy karni, to go and ask for horns. He sees that other animals like oxen have horns. How come I don't have any horns? So he goes and stands online, asking the clerk, maybe give me horns. And instead of giving him something, unni dahavale, the oznaim, unni means the ears that he had until now, geziza mine, they cut it off. In other words, you go online hoping to go and get something new and something in addition. Unfortunately, you get a subtraction or a deduction. So here too, he was hoping to go and collect his reward for this Eitzah. And what did he get instead? He was killed. It says in the Pasuk, there's Bilam ben Be'or HaKoisen. This doesn't say in the Chumash, there's a Pasuk in Yoshua. Koisen, of course, means the sorcerer that's doing this witchcraft. How could that be? Remember, you asked about this already yesterday, Barry. He started off a Navi, but unfortunately he erred and he sinned, and after the Nevuah was taken away from him, so he's going to do something.
Kishev Macher.
He's going to try to mimic his position of Navi until now, and do also abracadabra, and he became a Kaisa. Amr Papa Hainzi Am Inchi, that's the expression that people have. Misagni Vishulti Haver, Aizen the Gavri Nagri, that you had until now. A woman who was a princess, Misagni v'shulti havya, she was married to, or she was close to, great.
Sholet.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at Rashi, four lines before the end, Misagni v'shulti havya, Aishas siganim v'sorim hoisa, she was a lady that was of nobility and aristocracy, she had husbands that were groisa kanakas, groisa machet.
Cabinet members.
Exactly. And what happened to her? Aizen Lushan's nus. She was Mazana, not with another member of the nobility. She took like Gabi Nagria. Rashi says,
dregs of society.
Almost. Okay. Lower level.
Deplorable.
That means the two sailors.
Right.
Or Nagri, which are Harashim. Harashim are carpenters. Exactly. So she was until now, you know, with the
cabinet, and now she's a wife of a cabinet. Remember, now she's a street prostitute.
It was okay. She could
be with the cabinet.
Exactly.
Yeah, wouldn't it be better? She could with the cabinet, and then, of course, it would make the headlines. Okay, anyway. So we continue on. Horog b'nei Yisrael b'chorev el chalaleim. Now, this is a continuation talking about Bilam, that he was killed b'cherev el chalaleim. And the Gemara assumes, because it says horgu, he was killed, becherev el chalaleim, many chalalim, that it means that he wasn't just killed with one cherev, but in fact, says the Gemara, Amarav shekaimu boy arba misais, that he, Bilam, died having all four mises bet, skila, sreifa, herig, vechenig. Exactly.
So we couldn't do more than one.
Yes. That's true, but here they did. The question is, how did they accomplish that? So Rashi says that they hung him up on the top of a tree or of a tzliva, or, you know, a cross of some sort, and then underneath him, they made a fire, a bonfire underneath the tree where he was standing, or where the pole that he was hanging on. And as this is, all is occurring, then somebody comes by with a sword and decapitates him, and never the head falls off, and then the rest of the body falls into the bonfire down below.
That's Mises Sedokim. Sedokim, we said.
Exactly. This is not the Bezin.
The
Seal Shell,
the Aver.
Exactly. If you look at the top Rashi, Horgul Chalaleim, top Rashi, right hand side, Mises Harbe Mashma. It's Mashma Horgul El Chalaleim. We're talking only about Bilam. So what's the double lashon, the
plural
lashon? Shkoyach. Mizabi mashvish the tuluhu. They hung him up. Veitzisu eish tachas at sliva. Under the sliva means like the cross where he was being hung. Underneath him, they made a fire down below. V'chadchu roisha. Then they cut off the head. V'nofel teichesh. He fell into the fire. The tzliya by being hung up there, haynu chenek. They apparently went and didn't hold him by his arms. They held him that he was hung by his neck. By him being hung by the neck, Nebuch, he was strangled. I don't know if you say Nebuch, but anyway, he was strangled. Then Chatichas Roish, that's Herig, that's a normal case of Herig. Decapitation, Kishnofel Or, it's when he fell down, like Skila, when one falls down to the ground. Kishnofel Or, Haimus Reifa. So he was Oicha to all four, as you say, they were Machle. Okay, Zutimor, Omele Ho Mina Lereb Chanina. A min asked Reb Chanina, Mish Milcha Bilam Bar Kamav, do you know how old Bilam was when he was killed? It doesn't say beferish anywhere. Since we have a generic pasuk, that bad guys won't even be zoicha to half of their life expectancy, and you mentioned the same behem shivim shana. Normally, life expectancy is 70 years. So if they're not going to be yechzi yameim, so he probably died by tlosin utlashan and by tlosin yahara, probably at the ripe old age of 33 or 34 before he got to yechzi yameim, before they got to 35. Wonderful, yeah. Enjoy. I'm going to miss you. Where are you going to be? You're going to be with your father?
Yeah, upstairs at a hotel.
Enjoy every moment.
Thank you.
Kusha Freilichinyot. El Merchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, we just said 33, 34. Omalei. So we answered him. This koifer answered back, the min answered back to Rebchanina. Shaper comes. Good kizot. Because Lidi Chozeli Pinkasay de Bilam. I saw in a museum somewhere the Pinkas of Bilam Harasha. Vavikzibbe was written on that Pinkas. That bar tlosan tlashanin Bilam chagira kat kotel yasei pinchas listah. That Bilam was all of 33 years old. Now, apparently Bilam didn't write it because we're talking about after his death. So maybe this was written by a chaver, an assistant, or family member, or maybe Pinchas.
His donkey Bilam wrote it because his donkey could speak. She probably could write it.
Okay, very good touche. So having said bay bar tlosan tlashanin Bilam chagira. Chagira, we remember we said a couple of days ago that he was a hinkadiker, that means that he was lame. Kad kotel yase, when he was killed by Pinchas Listor, that's the same Pinchas that killed Zimri, apparently also killed Bilam. Rashi says it doesn't necessarily mean Pinchas himself, it could be that Pinchas was like the Tsar Tzvo, he was the general, and one of his legion, one of the people in the group, in the Tzava, they were the ones that killed him.
But we have external evidence, because if Bilam was in the council of Paro to kill the Jews, mm-hmm. How many years earlier was that? That was a long time, because Moshe Rabbeinu was 80,
mm-hmm.
and according to, I think, a Medrash says he was 40 years between the time he left Mitzrayim and the Mass of the Snap.
So you're saying it was much
older, because then Bilam had to be old enough to be power to counsel him.
And not only that, we said yesterday that Bilam was this one and the same as Lavan or Arami. Lavan was really in terms of Yaakov.
I understand that's metaphorical, because then you have...
So Rashi asks your kasha. And Rashi says that this chazal disagrees with the earlier chazal, because according to the earlier chazal, he had to be at least 210 years old.
Exactly.
So you look at the Rashi, Bar Tlosin Utlas, right? That's in the right-hand side, third, fourth line. What is Vresh Ches? That's Reb Chanina that we just had now. How we mean Reb Chanina? Reb Chanina, less later Reb Simoi. He disagrees with Reb Simoi. The Amaleel, Shloisha Yibois, Eitza, the Pare, Bilam, the Eoi, the Yisroi, that, I'm sorry, Eitza, the Pare, thank you, Bilam, the Eoi of the Yisroi, the Reb Simoi, Bilam, Choye, Yoisim, and Messiah, the Asashanim. He lived more than 210 years. The Choye, Batas, Pare, the Cholabeni, Yoladi, Yoritash, Lichu. The Lambisi was alive that entire time, from the time of the Kolben until the end. And here it's saying he was only 33, 34, so there's a machloikis as to how old he really was. So if you ever find the cave of Bilam, see what it's written on the Matzeva, and you'll have a better idea. Anyway, so continuing the Gemara, Omale Mar Bered Ravina Lebre. Mar Bered Ravina said to his son, Bekulu loitafis lamedrish lebar mi bilam harasha. The kamad mishkachas bay droish bay. What Mar Bered Ravina is saying is, as you know, we have in the Mishnah the four hedyoitos and the four hedyoitos that ain lem chemik olam haba.
Very good. Kofol, bilam, gechazi, and doik.
Very good. So of those four, if you have a medrash that you learned that you're a makabel from your Rebbe, that you know is a bona fide medrash, that's okay. But don't go on your own to try to darshan psukim, except for Bilam Rasha. But Bilam Rasha, you can go and pour on as much as you want, like Sigmar has just poured on for the last blood or two, how bad he was. That's no problem. But the others, unless you have, you know, some Kabbalah, so Marbury Ravina celebrate, but Kulu Loi Tofis Lamedish. Don't chap to try to darshan on your own new drushes to show how bad the other three of the Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet were. The Barim Bilam Rasha, they come to Trachas of Drush Bay, wherever you can. Chap arayin and go and dump on his head. No problem. So now we go to doyeg. Ksiv doyeg or ksiv doyeg. Where is this doyeg? This is in number 4. This is in Shmuel Aleph. Yom HaMelech, the doyeg. So here it says doyeg and doyeg. What's the reason for the two different spellings? We're going to see shortly in the Gemara that doyeg was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And Kodesh Baruch Hu was concerned, he was doeg, he had daaga, he had a concern, Shem Yitzhak Tabas, maybe this doeg is going to go off the derech. Le'yach Shiyotza, once he went off the derech, instead of saying doeg, it says now doeg, Omravai Shiyotza Zet. So the vai is, of course, the Vav Yud Yud in the word doeg. Oh, woe is it, the Nebuch, my worst nightmares have materialized and doeg has gone off. Simen Gibor Barosha Tzadik Chayil, Chayil V'Seifer. Because we're going to have now 5 members of Rabbi Yitzchak, and that's why the siman is the first one to be in by Gibor and then Rasha, as you'll see. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, might have seen the pasuk Matasal Baro Hagibor. No, that's the first of the siman. Chesed Kel Kolayam. So what does that more mean? What does that pasuk mean? Om LeKadosh Baruch Hu LeDoyik LeGibor BeTayra Ata. Mr. Chagrisa Godly, Chagrisa Talmud Chacham, Matasal Baro, Matasal Baro Hagibor Chesed Kel Kolayam. By the fact that you're learning Torah until now, you're blessed with Torah's chesed al Shoina. You're learning Torah, and the Torah is going to be making on you, and it's going to be good. So matzal bara, why are you getting involved in ra? Now, what is the ra that he's getting involved? Says Rashi that he's saying loshen hara al David to Shaul Hamelech, that David is a bad guy, and what he did in Noiv, and he's going against you, and all the rest. And that, of course, led to, not only Shaul was already hating David, but to intensify his hate, and it led to the whole Noivir Kahanim being killed out, like we learned previously. Anyway, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what are you getting involved in all this stuff? Go mismedish, guys, it's a land, don't give advice to Shaul, don't get to say Lashon Hara about David HaMelech. Second passing, that's the Russia in the Siman. For the Russia, Omar Lekim, Malach Olesaper Chukai. What does that mean? Omar Lekodesh Baruch Hu LeDoyik HaRasha. Malach Olesaper Chukai Kishat Magiel LeParshes Meratzel LeParshes Saper Loshen Hora Ma'at Doyish Behem. What does that mean? You are a tremendous Talmud Chacham and you're darshening psukim. Malach Olesaper Chukai, and you're presumably giving shiurim and drushes on these psukim. What are you going to do when you're going to come to two parshiyos which apply to you? What's that parsha? The parsha Meratzchem, that you caused Nebuch the killing, murder of all of the Kehanim and Noiv, and Mesaper Lashon Hara. You're saying Lashon Hara about David HaMelech and about Achimelech and all the Kehanim, their Noiv, and of course their deaths. So what are you going to do at that time? So that's the Malach HaLesaper Chukai. You're giving drushes and teaching about Torah and learning Torah. What are you going to do with those two parashas about Ratzchim and Lashon Hara? Continues the pasuk Vatisa Brisi Ali Picha. What does that mean? Amrav Ami Interas Shaldoig Il Misaf Volachutz. Misaf Volachutz is an expression which means a person that doesn't internalize what he learns, but rather it's just Misaf Volachutz. He says it, but he doesn't really mean it. A ret and a jot. It's Misaf from his lips and towards the outside, but not towards the inside. Like Rashi says, Ali Picha Voloi Belev. He didn't internalize the Torah that he was learning. Initially there was yira, but after that there was laughter. Now, what is this referring to? So Rashi says that the tzaddikim that lived in the dor together with doyeg, they were afraid of learning from his masim, since he was an odom gadol, like we just said, and as we'll see further in the Gemara, he was learning a lot of Torah. People will mimic and will follow in the footsteps of Doig. And they had that daga, they were Doig about that. So they were Yiro. They were fearful that this was going to happen. Flipsoif, when they heard the good news, the Doig Adoimi is no longer, then Yitzchaka, then they were happy that Baruch Hashem, we're no longer going to be enticed to go and follow in his footsteps. Right in the pussy. Number 8. Chil. Bola vayikenu mi bitnoi yirishenu kale. What does all of this mean? Chil bola, you went and swallowed up a chil like a treasure. Yikenu, and the person will regurgitate mi bitnoi from his stomach, from its innards. Yirishenu kale, and the Kodesh Baruch is going to be yoyish. What does that mean? So amadov lemnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shlomo. So now the Gemara is going to bring here for a couple of lines a dialogue between David HaMelech and the Rabbeinu Shlomo Kaviyachol. So the Gemara says, "I'm a double of Nekodesh Baruch, Rabbeinu Shalom. Yom is Doig. Doig said Lashon Hara about me, and Doig caused Neiver Kahanim. Let him die. I'm a loy." So Kodesh Baruch said, "Chil Bala v'yikienu." What means Chil Bala? Actually says that he went and has swallowed up large portions of Torah, Chayil, and Hamtein says Rashi, "At Shetishkach Tiras, wait until yikienu, until it's out of his system." In other words, let's not kill him immediately. Give him a chance. He went at Takatru. He caused all the tzaris with Neivir Kehanim and David HaMelech, Al Tzemes. But in the meantime, since he's a great Talmid Chacham, let's wait until he forgets his Torah, and then we're going to kill him. So David HaMelech said, Mi bitno yerishenu kel. Mitno means Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't wait. You can go and be moidish. You can go and uproot it from his bitno already now. You don't have to wait until it becomes Shetishkach. And Rashi says, Tamar v'tashkichenu. You can go, Kodesh Baruch, and snap your fingers and you should forget all the Torah in 1 minute. So we don't have to wait another month, year, 10 years. Shai, you can take care of it right now. Lord Rav Yitzchak, might have said there's a pasuk, Gam kel yitotzcho lenetzach. Am Kodesh Baruch ledovid. Neisi doig li'alma di'asi. My intention is, like everybody else, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik l'mabo, the doig should also go l'olam
abo. Right, Alfeis Gimel, not Alfeis Gimel Dalet.
Exactly. Oh, Malafonov, so he said to him, Gam keil yitotzcho lenetzach. What size? Keil yitotzcho lenetzach. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you should be yitotz. Yitotz means like to shatter, to smithereens. Lenetzach, forever and ever. In other words, don't take doig into olam haba. He should be shattered and to shmettered forever and ever to smithereens. Ma'idach suvishim patut. Yechadcha. That's not yachdcha. Let's see, number, it's 9. It's continuation of the same pasuk. Gam kel yitotzcho lenetzach yachtecha v'yisocha mi'oyel v'shereshcha mi'eretz chayim sal. The Gemara darshens in this pasuk here yachtecha v'yisocha mi'oyel v'shereshcha mi'eretz chayim sal. And Kodesh Baruch Hu leimu shmeitze be'medrashim mishmei. Even if we're going to go and kill doyeg, but at least we should go and repeat some of the shtiklach Torah in the besmedrash. It's Omar lefonav. So now David HaMelech responds. He says yachtecha v'yisocha mi'oyel. You should go and cut him down and Yisachacha, remove him from the oil. Do not have Torah repeated in the name of Doig in the Bismedesh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, well, the heavy laid benin Rabbanim, at least let his children be Tamid Chacham. After all, he was a Tamid Chacham, let the children be Tamid Chacham. Yishereshchem Eretz Chaim Selah, why don't you uproot any Zecher of Doig from this world? Not only he should lose his Torah, but his children as well, they should not go and learn. See, these are all the five members of Rabbi Yitzchak. The last one is the Sofer, which is what we're going to have right now. Again, the way Rabbi Yitzchak is doing this is all describing Doyeg, and we're saying what a great Talmud Chacham he was. He was able to count all the letters in the Torah. So you're saying to yourself, no, if I open up a Chumash or a Sefer Torah, I can also count them. Says Rashi, he was a Boki b'chaseiros v'yaseiros. If you had a Sofer that wanted to know, do we add a Vav here, do we take away a Yud over there, he was the person to call. He knew exactly how every single word was written, Mole, Choser, etc. Ayis Shoykel, what means Ayis Shoykel? She Shoykel kol kal v'chamur shebetoyim. He was able to go and a person is Odom is done, can be done gzer shavim the atzmai, but you can be done a kal v'chaymer, because kal v'chaymer is very logical. Ma, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says about a kal, certainly it'll be a chaymer. So he was able to be shoykel which kalas achamuris, which kal v'chaymers are really true and which are not true. In other words, he was a baki in this type of logical derivation from kal v'chaymers. He was able to do it. He was oymer al kulan. Very good. Ah, Yisoyfer as a Migdolim. What means Migdol? That's the end of the pasuk. Yisoyfer the Migdolim. Show Yisoyfer Shloish Miyos Halachas Psukois. The Migdol HaPireach Ba'Aved. He was able to go and count 300 separate halachos about the Migdol Pireach Ba'Aved. What means Migdol Pireach Ba'Aved? Sorry.
Is it Midoram? Matan Neder?
No. But Rashi has four separate pshatim. So we'll look at the Rashi on the left hand side. The Migdol Pireach Ba'Aved. The top Rashi, top line. Meseg el yoina shalamalam and halamid. If you look at the lamid inside the Sefer Torah, all of our lamids, of course, go up high at the top, like a vav extending from the bottom of the lamid. But more than that, when you get to the top of that vav on top of the lamid, then you'll see that there are tagin, or in this word, actually called it a meseg, like little lines which are extending, and one of the lines is bent over forward. You have to really look at the Sefer Torah to appreciate this.
Right.
So then, he was able to darshan 300 halachas named mak fufalamata. How come in that little shtickle on top of the lamed, how come it's bent over slightly? 300 different halachas he learned from that.
Rabbi Akiva and the Osius, the Tagin.
Right. Lo shayin mori, right? Mori rabbi, mipiashmo. Then lishnachron, I have a second shot. Migdol parech ba'avir, brother Shai Zag is in Tatzlacha.
Why was it called Edomi?
Begadom, because he came from the land of Edom.
He was a Jew,
but he was born. He was born in.
It's like you're in America.
It's like Pinchas Varshimer. My father's called Pinchas Varshimer. Yeah. It was Pinchas from Warsaw.
Exactly. Be mechazik the oilam with the minion and the shem. Very good. Hatzlacha. Buzuk
Tishali. By the way, there are 304,805 letters in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 4,000. Laws that a sofer has to know how to do.
Good.
And every legitimate Sefer Torah has 42 lines on each section.
Legitimate as opposed to an illegitimate Sefer Torah?
A puzzle.
Mirakusha Sefer Torah. Good. Shkoya for sharing that with us. So apparently,
what happened to the other 296,000 letters?
Because it says, Shishamri Boyos is 600,000. So it's an Alta Kasha. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about the Oisius and the Psukim in the Torah, and the question that you're asking, some Oisius are multiple Oisius. Take for instance an Aleph. Every Aleph is three Oisius. You have a Yud on top, you have a Vav on the bottom, in the middle, and you have a Yud on the bottom. So some Oisius are counted multiple times, not just one time, two or three times. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now, Kashi usually really addressed to Shali because it's not our Gemara here. That's his.
Finish Rashi, Lashon Achir.
So in the middle of the Rashi, thank you. Third line of the Rashi on the left hand side. There are four pshat, I tell you. Lishna Achir. The Migdal Parech Ba'avir, Hanichlis La'eretz Amim, Beshir Teva Migdal, and Mutame Imlav. So he came up with 300 possibilities of a person coming into a Migdal. As you know, if it's totally sealed and if it's large enough, then you don't become Tomei. The reason is because you learn it from the Pesach, it has to be metal from Holy Bereikon, and you can't normally go and carry a Migdal, which is like a tower. It doesn't have to be a tower, it means like a large box
like
over here.
Airplane.
airplane good. So what does he become Tomei? Not what the dimensions are, what the shiurim are, if it's open, closed, 300. So that's a Migdal Perech Ba'avir. Literally, it's not really Perech, it's not flying, but you're carrying it.
An airplane is literally flying.
Yeah, but the more is referring to a Migdal. Lishtach Ren, now a third pshat. Kimu Meis Halochas B'Migdal Perech Ba'avir Lasis Kishuf Lahamid Migdal Ba'avir. What happens if you wanted to suspend a Migdal in mid-air? Remember we had that a couple of days ago, that who was at Yishbi Benoyev, he went and suspended, he threw him up, and then Avishai, who came to help out David HaMelech, he kept him suspended. But there he did Al Yidei Shem, which of course is permissible. Here he's doing this Al Yidei Kishuf. Lahamid Migdal Ba'avir, going Shloish Meyetz Halochas, Benetiois Kishuin, Amr Beperk and El, as you remember, that they had a field that was full of Kishuin, and then how do you harvest it? You could do it with a Kishuf, and the Gemara distinguished between whether it was a real harvest or it was just a Machzalei Naim, that it looked like it, just an illusion, exactly. So that, again, 300 Halochas. Just like you had in the Tzius Kishuv, you have 300 halachas with the Kishuv of Laham and Migdal Ba'avir. And number four, Lamoir Nir Adachar Sinish, Lo Yishmeyes Halachas, the Migdal O'imid Ba'avir, or Mishnah Achas Ba'ai Holis, there's a Mishnah Holis in Perek Dalet, the Mishtoi Ba'achi, Migdal O'imid Ba'avir, the Tumma Ba'toicha, Kelim Shabasoicha, Tumayim, Bechain Nir Adarabi. So that the real pshat of all of these pshatim is the fourth one, and that is if you have a Migdal O'imid Ba'avir, which is standing Avir, I guess it's a tall Migdal, and there's a Tumah B'Soicha, the Kem Shabasoicha, Tumayim, and therefore you have to look in the Mishnah in Perek Dalet about all the details, etc. So, bottom line is, obviously, he was a great Talmud Chacham, 300 separate halachos. And the Gemara continues on in the same vein. Omer Rebbe, Arba Meya Baya, we're now in the sixth wide line down below. We just finished the five members of Rebbe Yitzchak, who darshan the Gibber Rosh, Tzadik Chel, Soifer, Haya Soifer. So now we continue on. Rebbe, Arba, does it say in the side, Gimel, Vazukta Gimel, Yeshutu, Amr Abami. Instead of Amr Rebbe, Amr Abami. Arba Meya Baya, Bo Doig Vachi, Toivu Migdal Pareach Ba'aver. They had 400 questions, in other words, Shailas B'Halocha, about Migdal Pareach Ba'aver. They weren't able to be poached any of the 400. So it sounds like, wow, these are, phew, what's Tamid Chum? Omer Rava wasn't impressed. He said, Rabu Salim Boyim Ba'i, to go and say questions. Everybody can ask questions. That's not such a great method to be able to answer the questions. Yes, the Tshuvas. That's when you talk about
it. That's
a talent. The talent of the Tshuvas, not so much the Shailas. Anyway, and now Rava tries to dramatize this, and he tells us, this is a Gemara in Tanis as well. B'shnei der Yehuda, in the years of Yehuda, kuli tenuya ben Zikin, everybody would go and learn the Zikin, like Bavakam, Bavatsiya, etc. Vananko, and Sanhedrin. Vananko masin in Tuva, b'uktsin. And we used to go and learn intensively in Uktsin. The Wusites Uktsin. Uktsin is the last Masechta in Taharis. And so therefore, we learned a lot there. V'chiyavamotar of Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda, since in Rav Yehuda's times, they all learned the Zikin, when they got to Mishnayos that were quoted in the Gemara, Ishish Kaveshis, Yerik Pateira, V'Amrila, Zeshish, Kovshim, B'Tarfein, Tohoirin, what are these halachas over here? There's a special din of Yad. Yad means that what happens if you have a fruit that has a stem sticking out of that fruit, and Tuma touches either the stem or the fruit, if the stem is strong, that you can go and hold up the fruit from the stem, like you have, for instance, you have grapes. If you buy a cluster of grapes, you can hold it from the top, and all the grapes, Baruch Hashem, are holding very, very well, and very good. Yeah, you can have sometimes apples have a nice stem on the top, and you can hold it from the stem. So if it's a good stem, it's a good yad, then it has its machlis and moitzi tumma. What means machlis and moitzi tumma? What happens if a dead sheret goes and touches that stem? So then the entire...
The entire pri.
The stem is a... It's not even royal achil, it's not a pri.
Right, it's not
a since it's a handle on the pri, it's a yad, it's deemed to be like a toffel to the pri, and therefore the pri also becomes tummy. But that's only if it's a good stem. What happens if you koivish? Koivish means to soak. You pickle it. If you pickle the yerek in a kedera, or you're taking the zesim and you're koivish them b'tarfein, again with their stems and with their leaves, what happens is those become very, very soft after a while, and then when you pick up the leaf, guess what? Then the zesim fall down. They cannot hold it any longer because they become so soft in the result of the soaking and the pickling. Same thing with the yerek. And that's your case to hoidim. Even if a tumor were to touch those stems, it would be tor because it's no longer considered to be a yat. So when Rav Yehuda would reach those Mishnayos, because he was so in tune with Bava Kamba, Metzia, Bava Basra, Sanhedrin, and Nezikin, boy, this is so schwer. Reminds me of the shailas that Rav and Shmuel would argue about and which they would discuss by Unz and Nezikin. That's how difficult these concepts were to Rav Yehuda. Vanan, and we, Rava says, Kamasin Boktsin Plasari, Besifta. In our day and age, we have 13 besmedrishes, 13 yeshivas, which learn Oktsin and know these halachas cold. Can you imagine? For Rav Yehuda, Sholif Mesani, when it was a day of a drought or a fast, and they were fasting because of the lack of rain, all he would have to do is he would take off his shoes, as if it was like an avelis, where you take off your shoes, for Asa Mitra, and it would start pouring. Vanan, and we, Tzavchina, we scream at it, we daven, and take a nacht, and the Rabbi Yisraelim help out and bring rain. Like the Mashal, but nobody listens to us. So why? What's Takib Shat? How could this be? We are so much greater than Rav Yehuda in terms of our knowledge of Torah. We know all about Utsin and Vice Gornish. Kadosh Baruch Hu, leave a boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks into the heart of the individual and sees the depth of that person's sincerity. Therefore, the important thing is what you have in your mind and in your heart, as opposed to what your misaf v'lachut saying out. So that's why Rav was saying, the 400 shaylas, all wonderful, beautiful, beautiful. They didn't internalize any of these shaylas. They didn't internalize the Torah. This just became like a scholarly
exercise
and pursuit. But they didn't really internalize it, and that's why they were unfortunately no good. Zorg to Moravite. Om Rav Mishasha, doig v'achitoyfo lehave sabri shmaitza. What means lehave sabri shmaitza? So Rashi says, lehave sabri shmaitza on the left-hand side. See, Rashi about 5-6 lines before the end. Even though they taka learned and learned and learned, but they were not able to go leyoidim halacha. They weren't able to lefarsha kitikna betaima. They weren't able to explain and know the exact halacha, what the reason behind it is, and what's the makar. Maskul marzutra mandich sivbe ayisoifer ayishoker ayisoifer zvidolim. But obviously, have a sabri shmeitzer. How could that be? They were so brilliant that even on the top of the Lamed they could go and learn 300 halachas. Tell them they didn't know. What you really mean to say is that yes, they can go and quote Gemaras and quote Shuvas Farm and quote Rambams and quote Shulchan Aruch.
Psak halacha they couldn't offer.
They couldn't go and offer psak halacha. They would say, and there's so many different sedotim. You want to know? Freit Ramesha. Freit Minich.
Regular local
rabbi. Local competent rabbi. Tichsiv. So the Hashem li reyav, the yireim, those that keep attack in their heart, Hashem yir leleivav, they know the soitis, they know the halacha perfectly. Om Rabami, leimeiz doigat shoshocha talmudai. Remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, I don't want to kill doig until he forgets. Yitaka forgot his learning, and then he died. Shnema, hu yomus, the ein moiser, hu beroi vival to yishge. By the time he died, ein musur, ein moiser, there's nothing left. He had already forgotten his learning. Hu beroi vival to now, in his foolishness, yishge, he would do shogigin, he would do mistakes. Rav Omar, not that he forgot his learning, or maybe in addition to that, Nitzterei became Metzoyer. Shem to the Pasi, Yitzmata, Kozoyna, Mimekah. What means Yitzmata? Ksiv Hosom Latzmisus, the Koina Oisla Deroy, that's talking about a person who buys a house, but the Ari Koima. It belongs to him Latzmisus forever. Metagmina, and we teach the word Latzmisus, Lachalutin, forever. Utanan, when it comes to the Gabi Metzoyer, it says, Ein Bein Muska, Lamuchle, Apriya, Free Mubavah. So, and muskar and mukhlat, that's different levels of mitzayra. Muskar means that you temporarily quarantine him to see whether it will develop into a full-fledged teras. And mukhlat means, yes, we've decided, unfortunately, he is mitzayra. So we see that the word mitzayra is related to the word mukhlat, and mukhlat is related to the word tzmisus, and tzmisus is related to the hitzmata. So we see that he became a mitzayra. Om Rav Yochanan, shloi shemalachi chabal nizdamu l'doi. Three malachim came. Echad shocha tamuda caused him to forget his learning. Echad shocha tishmasai that caused his neshama to burn. Echad shapizer afri v'bot the kinesis v'bot the drushes took his offer and his dust and the what was the ashes left from him and just spread it out all over besmedish and the batim.
How strange to take the cremation of doeg and put it in bat the kinesis and bat the medrashes.
probably Musa Haskell is coming to tell you, however, when you learn, it's not enough to scholarly pursuit. You have to take this to heart, that every word that you're learning in the Torah is God-given, and it tells you soydis of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and tells you the midas of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore be mistabik in the Torah with all of Yeramach Avram, Sagidim, and since he didn't, Amar B'yechan, what does it say on the side of the Amar, what was it, the test? V'Amar B'yechan. Even though both Doig and Achitoyfel were arch enemies of David Melech, they did not overlap. Doig be Mei Shol, Achitoyfel be David. Doig was an earlier generation in time of Shaul Melech, and after he died, Achitoyfel was born, and he was be Mei David. Neither of them lived a full life. Each one of them was 33, 34, like we discussed at the top. Tanem Yehochi, Anshadom Yemeirvel, Yechz Yemeim, Koshlois Erdoyi, Lahoy Eshloish and Biarba, altogether 34. Shalach Yitoyfel, Eshloish and Mishalish. So altogether was 67. David Melch, of course, lived for 70 years. So it doesn't mean that necessarily he was for the first 33. The Doig was, which was first? Doig was first, that Doig was for the first 34, and then after that, Achitoyfel for the last 33. Could be that Doig was already born before David HaMelech. So he died at some point at the ripe old age of 34, and then Achitoyfel was born sometime later, either for 33.
Achitoyfel was the grandfather of Bathsheba, we learned earlier, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Who? Achitoyfel was the grandfather of Bathsheba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who David, who's
married.
Right, he's the mother of Shlomo HaMelech.
Good. There were three periods of time that David HaMelech had a relationship with Achitoyfel. Initially he called Achitoyfel Zan Rabbi, as we'll see. And after he says, you're my colleague. And at the end he called him his Talmud. Rashi says, Alufi means Rebbe, my Aluf, my commander, my Nossi. That's how he called him, Alt Rebbe. We're going to go together. That was Chaver. What means Oichel Lachmi? Says Rashi. Top of the Rashi. From now on, he's no longer my Rebbe, no longer my Chaver. Now he's learning a Talmud by me, and he did what he did.
Who said this?
David HaMelech. So we're going to stop over here. Yes, Charlie, we're waiting for some good comments.